Okay, so we're live. Hi there.
Hello.
So this is episode one of the Hamish and Brandon show. I am the latter. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Hamish. Yeah.
Cool. So we did an episode zero. Since we're programmers, we do an episode zero. And in episode zero, we took about 2 hours, which is a pretty short for our usual conversations. And
Awesome.
this time we're gonna do it a little more short form, and something that is more digestible. So I guess maybe some introductions are in order, huh?
Yeah,
What do you
great
think?
idea.
Well, maybe you should go first.
Sure. Yeah. So my name is Hamish McPherson. I'm a software engineer. I work for a company called Buffer, and I have two kids. Keep me really busy. A lovely wife. I live in Chilliwack, British Columbia, which is not too far from Vancouver. And yeah, also a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And yeah, I love to program, love coding, love technology. And I can't really think of anything else.
Oh, that's great. My name is Brandon Wong. I am also a software developer. I work at a company called Catalaxy, which is based here in my city, Montreal. And so I live here in Montreal, which is near Montreal. It's a pretty big city here in Quebec. And I'm also a member of the church. I have one kid right now. That might change in the future, but he was just born, so one at a time. And yeah, I've been programming since I was a teenager. And Hamish is one of the guys that got me into it in the first place. So
I'm guilty.
yeah,
Yep.
so
Glad
we've been chatting about it ever since.
Yeah.
Whenever we get the chance. Hamish, you used to live here, so that's how we know each other. And even though you've moved back to your native lands, well, sort
Right.
of the West, right? And
Moved to back to the West. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
but we've still kept in touch and are still keeping up to date on what's going on. So, with that out of the way, let's chat about what's going on.
Yeah, what is going on? Gosh. Yeah, well, you know what's going on? I got a new monitor a couple days ago.
Are you sitting in front of it right now?
Yeah,
All
it's great.
right, tell me
So,
about it.
yeah, well, it's funny. So where I work at Buffer, it's a great company. They have some sweet perks. One of the perks that they just announced not too long ago was not a stipend, but like a one-time credit for setting up your office. And so I had this like credit that I hadn't used, and it's been a few months, and I kept kind of thinking about what I wanted to use it for. And I actually already have so my MacBook, which is 15 inch, and I've got this 24 inch Dell monitor that I've had for a long time. And I was like, but I could always have more, right? More real estate, more
Of
screen
course,
space.
yeah.
So it was yeah, so a little while back it was Black Friday, and I was looking at some deals, and I saw this 34 inch monitor for a pretty big discount. I think it was
Holy
regularly like,
crap. 34.
yeah,
Okay.
34
Wait,
inches. Yeah.
I need a tape measure. Do I have a tape
It's
measure around
insane.
here?
It's so huge. I mean, it's not that much higher than my 24 inch. In fact, it's probably like very similar in height to the 24 inch that I have, but it's the width. Like
Is
this
it
thing
ultra
is, it's
widescreen?
ultra wide. Yeah. It's like, I mean, I'm trying to give you an idea here. It's this big. I try and turn my laptop around, but there's so many wires coming out of it. It would probably just break something. But
Yeah, mine too.
yeah, so it's great. I'm really liking it. It's probably part of the reason my Mac's struggling so much right now. I've got like so much, it's driving so many windows open right now at the same time. But yeah, it's great. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm being super productive with it yet. There's this app that I have for Mac that lets you bind certain keyboard shortcuts to like moving windows around, which is really helpful. So like,
Yes, I've heard of something like that.
yeah,
Oh.
the one that I use is called, let's see, I just want to find it,
No.
Spectacle. Yeah, Spectacle for Mac, and it's free. and it's really useful. There's other ones you can use that are more like visual, where you like click your mouse and drag and stuff, and it does it. This one has no mouse interaction, it's keyboard only, but once you get the hang of it, it's really helpful because you can like move a window from like one screen to another, or to the corner of the screen, or to the like the first third or the middle third or the left right, you know, you learn the shortcuts.
Yeah.
So I'm actually not very good with it. I've realized I'm not very good with it having more space now. I'm like trying to like I don't know all the shortcuts, but it has a menu you can click in like in the little bar on Mac, and you can, you know, that also shows you the shortcuts, so you can kind of learn it as you go. But anyway, yeah, so new screen, which is fun. And I think with the Black Friday discount plus my work credit, I paid about $160 out of pocket on the screen, and it costs about $1,400 or $1,300.
Oh dang! Man, what? That's not a bad deal.
It was a great deal. I'm very happy about it. And
wait, 160? Is that what you said?
The other day, I thought I'd try a few video games on it. It was fun. I had to actually dial my settings back though, because it's so much for like the graphics card to pump out all these. Like,
on your laptop, right?
Actually, not my PC. So I took it, I carried it upstairs and like plugged it into my PC. Yeah. No, my MacBook could not drive anything on this. Like, at least no games. It would just, yeah.
I was gonna say, like, can it handle it? And also, like, if you get a giant screen, but then you reduce the resolution or whatever, like, is it even worth it? Like,
what? Well, that's the thing. Like, sorry, do you mean like, is it worth it to have it when you can't even play on it? You mean, is
right?
That... Yeah, that's a great question. I was a little worried. Like, I have a pretty good graphics card on my PC, so that was. I mean, it still struggled like at the high. I've had things on the highest settings, because normally I'll play, like, I'll take this monitor upstairs and plug it in, and I'll play most of my games like really high settings, because this monitor is just like 1080p, right? Like, it's, well, it's not exactly 1080, it's like 1200, but it's very close. So it's not a very high resolution by most gaming standards, so everything works pretty well. But when you go like ultra wide and you have like 3800 pixels by 1400 and something, it's a totally different story, right? Like, I mean, you're talking like more than double the number of pixels, so yeah, a lot more for the GPU to pump out. And I noticed right away that the frame rates weren't as smooth. But in a couple games I just like dialed the settings down, and then just it ran like a dream. So, but I can share, you know, it's funny, I should share, I don't know if this will actually, this probably won't work right with the way you've got our thing set up, but
give it a try. Screen, yeah, I can do it.
The size of this thing.
Oh man.
So, like, there's my mouse.
How do you even get a wallpaper for it? Does that even exist?
Right, yeah. We got some Sublime text here. I mean, so you can just do so much with it, right? Like, this is that app that I was talking about. You can move things around.
Yes, that reminds me. I heard of another one. It's called Divvy. D-I-V-V-Y. And...
Oh, yeah.
Should be good. Yeah, we're in business.
Okay. All right, we are back after a small accident there.
Little technical issue. Sure. So yeah,
stop broadcast button looks too much like stop screen.
It has the word stop in it, right? we're developers, right? We know our way around computers.
Exactly.
Yeah, so anyways, I was telling you about something called Divvy. So it's only for Mac and Windows, so I can't use it. But you might want to try and see if it's any good for you. But yeah, it basically just it gives you a grid, and it gives you keyboard shortcuts to move windows to fit different slots within the grid. Now, that said...
Yes, okay, yeah. I have seen this, yeah.
You have? Okay. Now, that said, I use a window manager called Xmonad. Mm-hmm. And I think it's only for Linux. And it's written in Haskell, and which is very, you know, pretty esoteric as languages go. And so the configuration is in Xmonad as well. So you got to learn a little bit to configure it. But once you do, it's pretty cool. It's a tiling window manager. So rather than having windows that are free floating and you click and drag to move them around and resize them, every window automatically grows to fill the slot that's available for it. And
Right,
so,
okay.
I mean, it's kind of hard to. Maybe I can show my screen and demonstrate. Let me try this. All right. And so, if I open a terminal, I mean, blah blah blah. This is my terminal. If I open a second one, they'll just split to fill in the extra space, right? So
Nice,
one
yeah.
will be cut in half, and then if I open more, it'll go like this and continue that way. And I can there are different options in terms of formats. So this is the most common one that I use. So one big one, and then all the other ones get squished on the other half of it. And
Right.
then you got multiple columns, and you have a full
Yeah.
screen for just one. And then there's some other cool ones like oh, it's not on this. I have different workspaces, so this one is this one's a spiral. So each one is progressively smaller and smaller, and they kind of just spiral inward. And then I have like three columns and a grid version. And then back to my
That's really
multi-column version.
cool.
Yeah, so I basically never, well, not never, but I very rarely use my mouse. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
And it's very convenient too, because and a friend of mine from university was trying to convince me to use this, and I'm like, well, what's the point of it? And he's like, okay, consider this. Imagine you have a keyboard, and it's like the typical classic PC keyboard with the keyboard in the middle, and then the numpad to the side of that, and then the mouse after that. If you want to like just close a window or something, you actually have to pick up your right hand, go past the right side of the keyboard, past the numpad, over to the mouse, lay your hand on the mouse. And usually you're not looking at it, you're just kind of feeling around for it with your hand. And then you got to move the mouse to find out where the cursor is. And then you got to find the cursor and then move it to where the X is. And then you click close and you're done. With a tiling window manager or any other window manager like this, you just press a keyboard shortcut and it's done. And most people know about, Alt F4 and stuff like that, but like this applies for moving the screen, the window, or to resize the window, or minimize the window, whatever. So it's pretty convenient. So and once you get the hang of the shortcuts, you can really go pretty quickly.
Well, that's cool. That's kind of, I mean, that's why people use Vim, I think, because you can just do so much with the keyboard. I mean, you have to. So it's like, and it's definitely way more productive. Like, it's way faster when you're good at it. Like, when you're not, it's really frustrating.
Yeah,
I think
there's a
the part
learning
of it's a learning
curve.
curve.
Yeah. And but the thing is, if you're a developer or if you work with computers a lot and working on computers is your life and your lifestyle, then maybe it's worth investing, a few minutes here and a few minutes there to figure out how to do these things more efficiently. But also it's just a kind of a I don't know what to call it. A hobby, right? It's an interest.
You cut out there a bit, but I think I heard what you said.
Oh, sorry. Is the thing freezing?
Your video seems okay, but your audio just lagged a bit on the
Oh,
for
okay.
some reason. But no, that's so interesting. I didn't actually. I've only been using Spectacle for maybe like a year, and before that, I was just like completely, just like command on Mac. It's Command Tab, which is like the same thing as like Alt Tab on Windows, to get around, which can get you pretty far. But then when you start to have like bigger screens or like more complex workflows, that gets tricky. I did figure out how to like split my terminals. So like with I use something called iTerm2 on Mac. With that app, it's pretty easy to like, I think you press like Command D and that will like split the screen, or Command Shift
Okay,
D will split it the other way. and it just creates a bunch of like subterminals. You can also, and so that creates like subshells inside of the terminal app, but it also has like an integration with what's that? There's that tool you can use on any terminal to create like different windows inside of it. What's that called?
Tmux?
Yeah, exactly. Tmux. So it actually integrates with Tmux. So
What
that means is like normally with Tmux, when you like create a new, you know, session with Tmux, you get like the window and you can create multiple ones within it and stuff, and you can switch between them. Yeah. And when you enable the integration with this Mac app, it'll display the splits like natively. So like the app itself split, as opposed to being like the separator character inside the terminal. So,
that's cool.
And it does a couple of things on top of that, which is pretty neat. I haven't gotten too deep into that. I set it up at one point and it was kind of cool. But I think the cooler part of Tmux is how you can like leave a session or whatever it's called and come back to it later, which is something I've never really taken advantage of. So
I was using it for like remote sessions. Like I SSH into a remote computer and I want to like leave a program running with the logs going or something, but I also want to do something else at the same time. Now, like you, I haven't gotten too deep into it. There's a whole bunch of keyboard shortcuts for that too, and that one, you pretty much have to know them because there's no visual indicator, no visual controls. So it's like Control B percent sign, Control B quotation mark, and you're like, okay, and then wait, Control B right, and you're like, but yeah, so.
It's kind of like how did you describe Haskell again?
Esoteric.
Yeah, it feels like that. But it's almost like, well, I don't really know how else they do it. Right? There's only so many keys on the keyboard, so we've like created these weird like control sequences and modifiers to like make the keyboard work, which is like probably okay. I've always wondered though, like, we just need more buttons, like just.
Well, we've tried that, and I mean, keyboard makers they've been doing like media control keys, right? And my keyboard here has like a menu key, and a copy paste key, and then a web backwards and forwards key, and an undo key. But I never touch them almost, and sometimes you know the OS doesn't recognize the extra keys, so. Back in the day, like I think Tmux is kind of meant to be a competitor to Screen. It's a program called Screen, and when Screen was being made, I mean, they didn't have fancy keyboard anything, right? So they're like, well, we got to work with what we've got, right?
Sorry, my phone is going off. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think isn't it funny how so much software companies is like trying to do better than some other predecessor, right? That's how we build most software, is like, I didn't like this, so I built one better, you know?
Well, I think a lot of it is based on need, right? you look at a lot of startup companies made by students, and you know, they're half of them are like for better registration systems at school or whatever. So, so it's whatever need they see in their lives is what they develop for, right?
Yeah.
When in fact, if you're starting a business, you should do the opposite, right? You should like look at the industry and say, okay, what's going on in the world, and is there something that is expensive that people have a problem with that I can maybe address and go at it that way? I mean,
gotta find that pain, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the whole point. That's awesome. So what I'm trying to think, what else has been up? What have you been up to? I mean, I talked about my screen a little bit, but
Well, if you couldn't tell over the last few minutes, I was sick yesterday, which I'm sorry about all the coughing and whatever.
Oh, that's okay.
Clearing my throat from last time I was sick, and I thought, okay, well, I'm done, quote unquote, done being sick for this season, right? You know, isn't that, aren't those the rules, right? You're sick once, and then you don't get to be sick for another few months at least.
But I thought that was the rule. Yeah.
Well, no, I was sick yesterday, but fortunately, it was just a 24-hour thing, like a stomach bug.
Wow.
Like, and Jasmine had it too, and we both woke up with headaches, body aches, just soreness all over, and tiredness.
Oh,
We were just dead for most of the day.
that's the worst.
My parents came over in the evening to kind of help things help out a bit,
That's
and they brought some Tylenol, which we ran out
nice.
of. So took a couple of those. My headache, kind of went away, and then this morning, went to bed this morning. It's all gone, or
Oh,
mostly
nice.
gone. I mean,
Or
I'm
like half.
still, But yeah.
After effect of it. Other than that, that's.
It's been a while since I've had one of those short-lived things, and I guess I'll never know what it was, but I'm glad it's gone. So, also, I'm speaking a little softer than last time because last time Jasmine was not too happy that I was disturbing her sleep
That
because
bellowing out.
yeah, she's just in the other room, and so I'm speaking a little closer to the microphone this time.
This is good. This is good.
And
Yes.
I'm speaking at a more conversational tone. I have this tendency, I think it's because I have mildly poor hearing. I have a tendency when I'm speaking to someone, especially online, in a video chat or something, to just start raising my voice and talk, speak ups, and when there's no need, right? So,
Well, and it's funny too because like you can do that on a video call with someone, and if they find you too loud, they can just hit a couple buttons on their keyboard and now you're not loud anymore. So it's
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
but someone next to you can't do that. So yeah, I think that's kind of just the nature of the medium when you communicate like that. And we've talked about this. I've done the same thing, like just be like, I also get when I get excited about something, I just talk louder. So I have to like force myself to like not be so loud. Because Naomi, I mean, where we have it set up now in our house, it's not as bad. I'm in my office. It's like I can close my door, and then there's like a staircase, and that goes up to like the main floor. But like all the bedrooms are on the floor above that, so I'd have to be quite loud to make anyone annoyed. So, but in our old place, it was bad because I think you and I must have chatted there at least once. But in our old place, we had like our bedroom, and there was like this area outside of a bedroom. You couldn't really call it a room because it mostly just connected to other rooms. But I use it as kind of an office. And yeah,
A
it was right
nook.
next to the bedroom. So yeah, pretty much. But like a big nook. Like it had enough room to like have like a desk and like, you know,
Or a
there's a
fat
wall and
hallway.
then basically, yeah, like a triple wide hallway kind of thing. So yeah, so I would use that as space. But if I was like up talking to someone, it shouldn't happen very often, but if I was, like yeah. She would often be like, shut up. I can
Yeah.
hear you. You're really loud. I would sometimes go into the living room, but then that was just adjacent to our room as well because it was like a small basement suite. So options were limited. But yeah. Well, I'm sorry you got sick. I'm glad you, and I'm glad it's gone or mostly gone. So.
Yeah, me too. Actually, on the note about houses, that's the other thing we've been doing this week has been searching for a new apartment.
Oh, exciting.
So, I mean, our kid is you haven't met him yet, have you?
No, I
Darn.
haven't.
Okay. Every time we chat, it's like 10 o'clock
I
our
know.
time. Like, what time is it over there?
Just about 8, yeah, 8:24. Yeah, almost
Okay.
8:30.
Yeah, so I mean, next time we'll start a conversation earlier just so you can actually see him. But this is a big kid. Like,
Yeah.
he was born at 9 pounds 4 ounces, and
Oh boy, yeah.
he's now like, oh, we're about 5 days away from him being 5 months old, and he's like 22, 23 pounds right now.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And yeah, he's a just a massive big baby,
I
and
mean, Maggie, my almost 2-year-old is like 30 pounds. So
he...
that's like.
Well, I mean, at a certain point they kind of level off, right? And
Right, yeah.
they kind of stay the same size, but then they kind of get skinnier because anyways. So the point is he hasn't done that yet, and
He's just
but
bulking.
yeah, he's huge, and he's starting to teeth already. I mean, he started like at 3 months, just
Wow,
kind of
yeah.
like just doing the whole eating his hand thing, and now I mean, he from time to time he has actual pain in his jaws and his gums, So he's doing a lot of things quick or early, like quickly. So
Yeah.
anyway, all this to say that at some point he's going to be walking around soon. I mean,
Yes.
he can already hold his weight on his legs, and it's only a matter of time before the balance comes and the
Oh
motor
my gosh,
coordination. So
it changes everything.
yeah, so we need a bigger place. Right now we're in a kind of a small 4.5, like 700 square feet, something like that. We do have a nice hallway that he could go down, but I mean, it's only so much you can do with a hallway when you're crawling and walking and you want to explore and, be active. So we're looking for a new place, and our lease is going to come up at the beginning of the new year, or like in March or so. So we're like, you know what? Let's take this opportunity to find a place before he's, walking or running. And might as well make this an opportunity to make this to get a bigger place and a whole bunch of other things. So we compiled a wish list, and it's ridiculously long, and there's no way we're gonna find everything. We like
Is it like pie in the sky? Like if you could have
yeah
everything you wanted, this
yeah well like
yeah.
we want it all, right? I mean,
It's good to do that.
there are a few things that we kind of quote unquote need, like we really really want. Like we have cloth diapers, so we're using the laundry machine a lot, so it'd be nice to have an in-suite laundry unit. we
Make
we
that a
want
much
some,
easier to deal with, yeah.
want something bigger, want something with more storage. It's a little hard to tell here, but we're just like storing place stuff all over the place. Like this room I'm in is a total mess, and I'm glad that my computer is also kind of anchored by wires, because I can't show you just how terrible all of this is. So we need more space. It'd be nice to have another room to have like a little office as well as a kid's bedroom.
Totally, yeah.
And we want it near the chapel, so that we can get to church very quickly, preferably on foot if possible, close to a
Nice.
metro station, because I take the metro to work, and it'd be nice if I don't have to walk, 20 minutes to get to the metro for a 20-minute metro ride. And of course, the biggest limitation is the budget. So, and Jasmine and I are going over our finances, and I'm like, I'm a software developer. My salary isn't that bad. Like we should be able to afford something bigger than these things that I'm seeing on the ads. But yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. So we're trying to think, like, we have a bunch of friends in our ward who live kind of in the area that we're looking at, and the places that they have are bigger. And again, we're not trying to compare in terms of like we're not jealous or anything, but we're just trying
Just a
to,
little
we're
bit,
just no well what we're trying
yeah.
to do is figure out, like, if they can afford that, and we don't know how much they make, we don't know like what
Sure,
their debts are, so we're just
yeah.
guessing a lot of things. So we're like, okay, if they can afford that, well, surely I with what I imagine is a better job can afford the same thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know, and it depends on luck too, like what is available at the time, and
Oh my
so
gosh, yeah.
yeah.
That's
But
like, there's a whole. Sorry, no, go ahead.
no, I mean, I'm just kind of rambling on here.
Yeah, no, I mean it's such an interesting topic because like I told you, like I told you last time, we went through this whole thing, Naomi and I, like, are we gonna move from here because we'd love to have a yard? And just we're like, no. Just because like the market was so expensive to buy another house, and like we would end up having to buy a house that needed like lots of work, or it just we couldn't get the dream house. And I think like, not that you can always get the dream house, you usually have to compromise on something, but it just felt like we weren't willing to compromise. But we also had the luxury, I would say, of like already owning a house and like being pretty happy with it. Like we can make this work. It's got plenty of space in it. So yeah, but I feel your frustration. I felt those kind of things too, because at the same time I was like, well, like I should be able to like afford, you know, the house that has a yard. Like, is that such a big deal?
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like, you know, it's rough. And I mean, I'm sure in Montreal it's expensive because it's a city, and any city and anywhere is expensive to some degree. So
what kind of annoys me, and I mean it's not a real complaint, but it just, it kind of irks me, like there, it's a, you know, all the websites that show all the rental places, like Craigslist and Kijiji and whatever, like some of the apartments are like $2,500 a month, or some of them are upwards of like $4,000 a month. I'm like,
okay,
first of all, I mean, first of all, why is anyone renting at $4,000 a month? Like, the only thing I can think of is if they're in a temporary situation, like they move here, their company is paying their rent or something, they have a family, they're relocating for like a few months, and then they do their job and they go back home or whatever. I don't know, but like,
yeah,
like who's renting at $4,000? Why not just buy the house, right?
Yeah, that's like more than a mortgage cost. I mean,
yeah,
or close to the cost of a mortgage.
I mean, these houses from the photos are really nice, but I mean, still, dang. I mean, and the other thing is, if that's the case, then why are you looking on Craigslist for your high end, you know, fancy rentals? Why are the normal rentals and the low end rentals on the same website as the high end rentals? They should have like the expensive real estate, you know, they have their own private websites or secret listings, right? Like only you got to pay $1,000 or bribe someone just to get the list, right? So you can see what they are. I mean, there should be something like that for the expensive rentals, right? I mean,
I know it seems like a market mismatch. Like, yeah. You're targeting those people there.
Exactly.
$4,000 a month plates on Craigslist. Like, and yeah, that's, I don't even understand who would do that. But then again, I watched a video the other day. It was kind of I guess you would put it in the genre of like reaction videos. It was just this, it was this YouTuber who often like reacts to like popular videos,
sure,
popular YouTubers or popular people on Instagram. And so he was reacting to this one person on Instagram who I didn't know who he was, but apparently he often posts videos of like himself in like really fancy cars or like in really nice houses and on private jets. And he's kind of mysterious because it's never clear, like, you know, it's not clear like where he gets the money from. He's quite young looking, like our age, you know, or younger.
He's renting it for a day and pretending, right?
Maybe, but even then, it's like, where is, yeah. So he posted a video that started off with like him showing clips of like his landlord saying how, oh, I had to kick this kid out because he had parties and, you know, messed up my place, and which is a weird thing to like show off in your video if that was what you did. And then the video goes on to be about something kind of, it goes on to be about like selling his merchandise. But the person reacting to the video like did some like research. Sorry, this is a long tangent to get to a small point, but the person that was watching this video did the research, found this like landlord also had a YouTube channel for some reason, and I guess this landlord will go to his properties and like record the damage of people who have left it and like just put it on YouTube for like whatever, for entertainment value.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so he found the video of this YouTuber, or basically he found the video of the landlord going through the house and looking at this damage, and it was just terrible. It was like they'd, you know, broken glass. And by the way, it was a huge house in the Hollywood Hills, like massive.
Oh,
$24,000 a month in rent. Like $24,000. Like that is ridiculous. Like what? And apparently, and then the guy says that they were like months, they had missed rent for months and all that stuff. But here's the thing. I've read that you shouldn't spend more than like a quarter of your like I think your gross income, maybe it was. I don't know if it was gross or net, but like you shouldn't spend more than a quarter on your housing, right? So whether that's mortgage or rent.
Yeah. In fact, just today I read about the 36% rule. So that's the number I heard. So right, nice. Around the same.
Yeah.
Also, although that's right, 30, yeah. Yeah, that was written in the States, I think. So I don't know if they account for taxes in Quebec. So maybe 25% is more accurate for gross income. So I gotta think about, and no, but and no, 36% rule was for mortgage payments, So,
Interesting. Yeah, it could be different. Yeah.
I don't know
Does
if
it differ
rent.
in rent?
I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe. You know, I would be willing to pay more per month for a mortgage, knowing that the money I'm putting in is going to what's technically an asset, right?
Yeah.
Whereas rent, pay the money, it's gone forever. That said, I mean, we've considered maybe looking into buying, but I don't know. We're the location we want to be in, buying, these are like a modest home is like $500,000, and
Yeah.
I don't think we're ready for that just yet. Maybe a tiny condo, but I don't know. I think if we were going to downsize in terms of space, like, or if we were going to increase our financial position at the cost of space, we should have done it before having a kid who needs to run around. So, anyways,
Yeah.
all that to say,
So many factors, yeah.
yeah. So we've been looking around, and surprisingly, there are quite a few places. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to mention. There are so many different websites, and they all have like different listings, and they overlap most of them, but not all of them. So you have to go to the other websites to see the parts that don't overlap, but you have to filter
Like the
through.
details, you mean, like the details of a listing
No, like
or other
some homes
listings?
are on this one, but not on this one.
Right, yeah.
So you have to go to the other ones to find them. But there's so much overlap, meaning you have to filter through them. So it's just it's a kind of a time-consuming thing. Luckily, this is like a shopping kind of experience, so I don't mind doing it. In fact, sometimes I have fun doing it. So I'm like, hey, could I picture myself living here? Like that sort of
Yeah.
thing. But I wish there was a more consolidated, location where I could just a one-stop shop that everyone agreed we're posting on this one. So actually, if I were to make a startup right now based purely on my needs, it would be
Yeah.
a rental listings website with a better map or a better interface or that sort of thing. But I'm like, I
Yeah.
gotta like cool it, just like breathe. 10 seconds. Don't try and recreate what already exists, and just go on with your life. And if you see something that is actually a market need that people would pay for it, then maybe consider that. Anyways.
Yeah. That's smart. Well, yeah, exactly. We kind of, I think, like you mentioned timing earlier, and I think timing's big. We got lucky with when we bought our house in terms of, like, I think it was like reasonably affordable at the time, to the point that like we're still able to like pay our mortgage payments and not be super stressed about that. But yeah, it's just like, and now, well, you're talking about shopping for a house, so we've been like very early stage, like looking at a car because we want, I can't remember if I mentioned this to you last time or not, but so the next like retreat for Buffer is going to be in San Diego. They just chose that location
Yeah,
for a projection of
we
like.
still got to talk about the last one you just did. But anyways, go on about San
Oh,
Diego.
yeah.
So you're going to drive there.
Yeah, that's the plan. We want to drive to San Diego because, well, I was a missionary in Sacramento. So it would be like on the way so we could stop and see that. Although, it's tricky. So like we're gonna, the retreat is like whatever day, it's like in April. And the rough plan right now is like we'll fly my mom out. She'll come here to BC. Then she'll drive down with us. We'll spend like, so I think what we'll do is we'll take like that week and the travel time and we'll go down all the way through to California. Again, this is all very like not super planned right now, but
Wait,
we'll take like some
how
time off
far
the
is
whole
it from
week.
from Chilliwack?
To drive from Chilliwack all the way to San Diego is like, I gotta say, it's like something like 22 hours. So It would take, I'm guessing, like, we'd probably split it up between, like, 3 days, you know?
Yeah,
if you have
yeah.
kids, like, something like
that. So you're going to be in a car with you, Naomi, your mom, and two kids.
Exactly.
It's going to be a packed car.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be a car, though, so here's the thing.
Okay.
We can't drive the car we own. So we own a little hatchback. It's a Toyota Matrix. It's a great car, but it's not big enough. And even now, it's not big enough. Like, we are, like, just fitting our two car seats in there. And if we ever want to drive someone else, like, we can't. We kind of can, like, if they're, like, if
they
they're,
squeeze.
Like, this thin. Yeah, they have to sit, like, sideways. It's awful. I've done it. So it's just, yeah. So if my mom comes, for example, like, that just won't work. Like, we need a van. So, yeah, so I've been starting to look for that.
So you're looking for a minivan.
And so now, yeah, yeah. And my like, internal debate now is, like, trying to decide between, like, do I want to finance a car or do I want to pay cash? And I'm not buying a new one. Like, I already have that crossed out.
Oh yeah. Definitely not. You know, never.
Reasonably. Yeah. That's, like, an easy answer. I don't have.
even if you're wildly rich, don't buy new. Like,
yeah, it doesn't make ridiculous. Sense. Right? But it's so funny. I did some research and, like, I couldn't tell if the research was just biased or if, like, I don't know, because there was some people that were like, well, if you can pay cash, just pay cash, because why not? You don't have to pay it. You don't have to pay monthly payments. There's no interest.
That was my thought. Is that not the best option?
Well, that's still kind of my preference. But one of the things that I read that was interesting was, like, if you can get really low financing or, like, 0%, I don't know how easy it is to get 0%. Probably not very easy unless you catch a special deal or something.
When I was a kid, I would hear it on commercials all the time, right?
I would too, and I feel like I see it less now, which kind of sucks. But because it's like, if you can get 0% or let's say, like, really a really low percentage, there's a chance that by having more money available to you, you could, like, invest that, so put that in your account, which could make a better return, right? And sort of, like, pay off that interest. And then
I was just talking to Jasmine about that. I'm like, if you could afford to buy a home in cash, you would probably want to finance it anyways so that you can keep the money and kind of earn interest on it, you know, as
right,
long as
exactly.
possible. Yeah. I don't know, for a car, maybe that's not worth it, depending on how expensive the car is. I mean,
yeah,
if we're talking $10,000, maybe you just want to throw it in and that's it, right?
Well, yeah, I think, I don't know how much we're going to spend yet. I want to spend kind of around 20, because that's maybe a little bit more, but not too much more, because that's going to get you, like, a nice van that's, like, at least 3 years old, maybe up to 5 years old, depending on, like, the mileage and stuff like that.
Mm.
And that's, like, a nice, like, a Toyota Sienna or something, which is, like, probably the more on the more expensive side of vans, but also, like, more highly rated and more desirable. So, because, like, right now we have our Toyota Matrix, I looked up the Kelley Blue Book and stuff and did all the math on it. And,
oh my gosh.
Even though that's actually, I know, I was trying to figure out, like, how much we could get for it. But it's hard to say, like, first of all, like, Kelley Blue Book is, like, a US thing, so you have to do, like, a bit of, like, conversion in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't know. It's a lot of money. Like, I don't, like, we have money invested and stuff like that, but I don't just have, like, $25,000 to just, like, put down on a car right now. I can, like, try and save that up, but, like, most of my money is, like, put into, hey, how's it going? People have arrived.
Whoa, a whole bunch of people just walked in. Hey!
Wasn't skating. We set up the jam for the Ward Christmas party, which we're now invited to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we got invited.
I hope so.
It's Mexican food.
Wait, what?
Who is the food? It's Mexican food.
Oh, nice. Yes. You're live right now on YouTube, so you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bye. I don't like that.
How to scare your wife away in one sentence. You're live on YouTube.
Do we have any live viewers?
Oh, you know, it's, but no, we don't. No,
no, I mean,
I don't think we have.
You didn't even advertise it. Yeah, exactly.
No, I mostly just do it because it's an easy way to record the video.
Yeah.
Versus getting, like, a bunch of viewers. Maybe we'll get popular one day and have viewers, but.
We can only hope.
But anyway, yeah. So, exactly. So I don't know with the car though. I just don't know. I kind of lean towards cash, but like I said, it's like, I even if I sold my car, I wouldn't have enough cash to, like, just go buy a nice van that I want right now. So it's like, maybe I would finance it, but then it's like, I don't know.
Well, you have until April to figure this out.
Yeah, exactly. Which feels like a lot of time, but also not a lot of time.
Yeah, so. I agree. Okay, yeah. So, very quickly, why don't you tell us about your trip? Yeah. It was in Portugal, or?
Yeah. So my team, we did a team. We called it an on-site. We used to call them like mini retreats, but I think they changed the term to on-site because, you know,
it's not
we're
so
normally
many.
All off-site because we're, yeah, exactly. Well, and sorry, yeah, just to be clear, this Portugal trip was just my team. It wasn't all a buffer. It was like,
oh, okay, I see. People. All right.
Yeah, yeah. So the big one happens. We're now in a cycle where the big one happens like in spring of every year.
Okay. So, the one in San Diego will be that one, right?
That's right. Okay. That'll be the big one. So this one in Portugal was just my team, which is like, yeah, six or seven people. I can't remember quite offhand, but yeah. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was so cool. So what we did was we flew out to Portugal. We met up. We went to a co-working space every day. We were all in the same hotel. We just get together every day and we just like brainstorm product stuff, talk about what we were working on, talk about the future of the product, how we could engineer it better.
It was a working kind of retreat. That's why you call it an on. Okay, I get it.
That's still great.
I mean, the change of the location, I'm sure it's amazing.
It was so nice. Yeah, the flight was great. I got lucky with my flight where I had like that middle seat empty for both of my flights to Lisbon. So I could just, you know, there's someone on the other end of the aisle, but you've got that gap and that was great.
Oh, nice.
But no, it was great. And then like there, I mean, Lisbon is beautiful. I mean, it's a European city, like any European city I found that I've been to. There's history and there's this culture and like, I don't know. I just love it. And like, I also love how you can go anywhere it feels like in Europe and just go to like a pastry shop and there's always something really good there.
Nice.
And Lisbon has like lots of really good pastries, in my opinion, but they have this one thing called the, I can't remember the exact name. I'd be like Pastel de Nata, I think is what it's called. And it's like a, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. It's like a flaky tart shaped thing. So the outside is like a flaky pastry kind of shaped like a small tart. And the filling inside of it is like this kind of like creamy, almost like rice pudding thing, but with, it's not chunky like rice pudding. It's like smooth, kind of like eggy. And then the top of it is kind of like, it's been like cooked in an oven. So the top looks kind of like creme brulee with that sort of like caramelization on top. That's what it looks like. If you look it up, like I can send a link. It's so good. It's so good. They make lots of places make them and they're all good in my opinion, but there's this one place that used to be like a monastery and the monks actually had a recipe they invented there to like make money when I think what happened was the government stopped giving money to the church and so they needed to find another way to like make money. So the monks like came up with this
pastry,
you know, recipe. Yeah, for this pastry. So it's nice. So there's now a restaurant there, a famous restaurant there that carries that name and keeps the secret of the right because it's like the only place with like that recipe. And there's lots of copycats in town, but none of them actually can use that recipe. Like they don't have it, but it's like, you know, it's protected by NDAs and all this kind of stuff. So
of course,
once you work there, you can't share it, but it's really good. I mean, we went back there. I went there once with my team and then my wife came and we spent a week there together after just vacation and we went back twice. So yeah. But hey, I've been notified. What time are we at?
We're at just over an hour. But there was the gap, the technical intermission, and yeah. We also had some build up time, which is also included in this. So we're technically just under an hour.
Okay, I might have to close soonish, and I'll give the reason for that. And sorry, I feel like I'm talking a lot. We have some live-in students now that you saw.
Yeah, I'm like, who are those people?
Yeah, so they're friends of ours in the church. Their parents moved to Alberta, and they wanted to finish their school here. So my wife's just texting me right now. Hold on a second. Anyway, yeah, so they're living in this space. So it's my office during the day, but then at night it's...
Oh, dang. So you're doing like a room and board kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. So they're here until like end of January, I think. So okay. be here for a couple months with us. And they've been great. Our kids love them to death. It's adorable. So, but they need to do homework apparently. So I have to
Okay. space. All right. Well, but, that's perfect because we're just about at our hour limit. And if we can stay disciplined like this for future sessions, we yeah. might just get more than zero viewers.
Yeah, we should. Let's keep doing this. And sorry we tried to do this a couple times and like it's been a little crazy. Like I got back from my trip and then we were getting them settled in here.
You were all jet lagged.
Jet lagged, and then my scheduling happened. I had to go do some ministering to some people, but
not a problem. Yeah, so maybe we should cut it out and then plan for the next one.
Yeah, all right, we'll say goodbye to everyone on the broadcast. Cool. Of the video. Thanks for
listening in. If you did,
yeah, tune in next time for more fun.
Yeah,
things.
we'll talk about the next retreat.
Yeah, exactly. All right, bye.
See ya.